first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles. Kind of make.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. A good Wednesday morning to you. 251-343-0106. Coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, Paul County Republican Party Chairman Michael Hoyt will be with us, and Sean Ross of the BRIC campaign will join us as well. But now it's time for the official Democrat response of the Jeff Poor Show. Our good friend, former Congressman Parker Griffith. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Jeff, good morning. I'm doing fine. We have had some beautiful days up here. The rain is absolutely helpful to the corn. The corn is jumping up out of the ground, and the cotton looking good. And so, no, we're doing fine up here, and nothing is better than a good weather, good agriculture, and good politics. And so, you know, we've got all those things together, and, you know, we got 13 days before the June the 21st runoff elections, and gosh, it's looking good. We're having a great time up this way. I'm really interested to see how the Mo Brooks campaign is handling their panic, but anyway, it's good.
Speaking of the Brooks campaign, what is the sense up your way? So if Congressman Brooks wants a shot, and I still think he's got a chance, he's got to do well in the 5th Congressional District. What do you see around town up in Huntsville?
I tell you the truth, the negativity overlying Brooks is significant, and it seems to have gotten worse instead of better. I don't think Brooks attacking Alpha or attacking the farmers was a good idea. I think he became shrill, and when they endorsed Katie Britt, his response was really, really not senatorial, and he really went out of his way to insult the farming community, which I think is a huge negative. And you associate that with Tom Cotton, you know, endorsing Katie Britt, the Alabama Mining Associates, which basically are rural and small businesses, your builders and your contractors, they endorsed Katie Britt. Sarah Huckabee endorsed Katie Britt. I think people know that Katie Britt would not have endorsed Katie Britt had not she gotten the okay from Donald Trump. I think Sarah Huckabee's endorsement of Katie Britt was an endorsement by Trump. And I think that's probably significant. But Brooks's campaign is, because they don't have anything positive to say, they can only attack. I think in the last couple of weeks of a campaign, I think that kind of works against you. It tells the public that not only are you behind, but you're behind for good reasons. And I think that's what's going on.
Now, one of the big storylines here in the last, I'd say, 4 or 5 days, Democrat crossover votes, particularly in the U.S. Senate race. Wade Perry, who I hear you're really, really good pals with, he got on Twitter about 9 o'clock on a Friday night, which seems to be, nothing could go wrong there. But anyway, and said, you know, basically that he adored Katie Britt and she had helped, them with the 2017, Senate election and getting Doug Jones elected, or he called it the Doug Jones thing, and, praised her for supporting Rebuild Alabama and the gas tax hike. Now, I think he was, perhaps trolling State Representative Alan Farley, who is kind of the head cheerleader online for Katie Britt. But he said what he said, and it's inspired this discussion and gotten the attention of a lot of members of the Alabama Republican Party. How much do you think Democrats played a role in Katie Britt's convincing outcome last month?
It's hard to quantify it, but it is not hard to see why a Democrat who has traditionally been a Democrat, but whose first loyalty is to Alabama and to the kitchen tables and the families of Alabamians. It's not hard to see why they would want Katie Britt to be their U.S. senator, because it's no longer about party, because there is no Democratic Party in statewide elections. And so I think Democrats are saying, listen, we need the best person. We can no longer play the party label, because there's only one party in Alabama now that is effective, and that's the Republican Party. So we have got to have the best representation we can get in Washington, D.C., because we are totally dependent on D.C. for our business development. And I think most of us, whether that we agree with all of Shelby's policies or not, cannot deny that he's been very effective in helping us become a very successful North Alabama, Mobile area as well. Boeing in both of those locations is going great guns. FBI here, 4,500 to 5,000 jobs, average salary north of $100,000. Growing leaps and bounds. And for the most part, we've had the help of the U.S. Senate, whether it be Shelby, whether it was Sessions. But Shelby predominantly was our champion. And he's recommended Katie Britt to carry on that.
And Congressman, let me throw something at you here. And you've been in this game for a while. How did you feel about it when this was a one-party Democrat state and Republicans would vote in the Democrat primary? And you look back at 86 and Craddock and Baxley, and you see that the Guy Hunt became governor. But you look at... I mean, you remember that? Were people as bothered by that as they seem to be bothered by Democrats doing the same to them now?
No, I don't think so. And really, truly, there may be some hardline Democrats or hardline Republicans that are concerned about who's voting in what party. What my experience has been people don't know who their representative is. They probably can't tell you who their two senators are. They usually vote on a motion. They usually vote. Well, you can see that the turnout was, what was it, under 25%?
23%.
23%. So you can see that there's not a lot of interest in politics, and that in itself is concerning. But the politicians are the blame for that. The public is losing their confidence or do not have any good warm feelings about Congress.
I want to push back a little here, and I'm going to tell you, I bet you in November turnout's off the charts, though. I just don't think people get really grasp the whole primary, and like you said, maybe they can't name who their senator is or who their congressman is. And my dad was that way. He had no idea that Spencer Baucus was his congressman. What the hell is a Spencer Baucus, you know? But he could tell you about what Rush Limbaugh said that day or what was on O'Reilly that night. And he would show up to vote and just hit the straight Republican box and then be done with it. Then I think there's a lot of that in this state. The people this is so tedious. Just leave me alone. And I just want to vote against Biden, or I want to vote for Trump, and that's kind of where this lies.
I think we're a one-party state right now, and will be for the foreseeable future, as long as the National Democrats have turned their back on Alabama and are trying to sell a bad product here. I think we'll see the Republican turnout significantly higher than 23%, just because it's the midterms and everybody feels like the House will flip to the Republicans and possibly the Senate. Every time they go to the gas pump, they are mad as hell. And when they see that $50 roll around, or that $65 or that $110, if they've got a dually or they've got a big truck, it doesn't look good for the Biden team. and he is responsible because he may not have been responsible theoretically, but he's the leader, and he can take the credit and he can take the blame. So that's how that works. That's how we play ball here. So I think the turnout will be significantly greater in the midterms, but right now, it seems to me that Katie Britt is kind of in the driver's seat here. I don't know. Mo Brooks just doesn't have anything to say that he's done for his constituents. And I think that's really a hindrance. If he had something positive to say, if he could brag on a toll road or three new bridges across the Tennessee River, or he participated in bringing jobs, he can't say any of that because he didn't do anything. And I think it harms his campaign because he doesn't have any meat to put into his advertisements. He can only trash his opponent. And it's, to tell you the truth, it's hard to trash Katie Britt. She's worked very hard. I mean, she is everywhere.
She's everywhere. I'm not gonna give her all the credit for just being grassroots Katie. It does help to have friends in high places that are able with deep pockets to able help her campaign. But she got to where she needed to be to win. If your goal, I know some people get in politics for the right reasons or what, but that doesn't really matter at this point in the race. What matters is that you want to get that win on primary or on a runoff night, that you want to be a U.S. senator. If you're not in office, all of this is academic and all of it is just kind of meaningless, I think, to real world circumstances. It's fun to have these discussions about conservatism and ideology and talk about a lot of this and what it means and yada, yada, yada. But like I said, at this point, it's about getting that W, and she has done what she needed to do to win. She has.
She's impressed the right people. Some people say, well, these endorsements don't really mean much, but I'm a conservative small businessman. And I can tell you that builders and contractors and rural agriculture, when they listen to someone and decide to endorse them, these are real people. These are people that are paying their mortgage, putting their kids through school, dealing with disease and, bumps in the road in their own personal lives. And they take this pretty seriously. And when Alpha endorsed Katie Britt, those people, I've been before. They put me on the spot when I was running. And they look at you very carefully. And they ask you some pretty hard questions. And they did that with Katie Britt. They did that with Mo Brooks. And Mo Brooks came out second or didn't come out at all. And Katie Britt won that endorsement. And that's nothing but a positive for Katie Britt's campaign.
I mean, now, Katie Britt started running for United States Senate when she first got to Girls State, and then later University of Alabama SGA president. I mean, like this, she's like just put her whole almost a lifetime of effort into this U.S. Senate seat, and it looks like right now, as things stand, unless something changes, it's going to pay off. But I mean, maybe that's what you got to do. You got to kind of be thinking about that.
And I think, too, Jeff, this is kind of important to me just to be able to say it out loud. Alabama has got to start voting for people who are qualified, not for people who play to the hot button issues.
But they never do in this state. And I had Brad Presnell, we were talking about this. When is the last time the ideological candidates won statewide at the top of a ballot race? Now, we could point to Roy Moore in 2017, but that was kind of a weird off-cycle, off-year election. But Alabamians, for the most part, never elect an ideologue. Look, I mean, you could say Jeff Sessions, maybe, but even in 96 when Jeff Sessions won, he wasn't known as a guy that was really steeped in ideology. He later became that. But, I mean, Alabama does not elect that type of candidate typically. They elect, there's at least Alabama Republicans, but even when the Democrats dominated the state, well, what about George Wallace? Well, Wallace wasn't an ideologue. He was a populist segregationist. There's no ideology there. You can maybe apply to some local races and some precincts around the state here and there, but look at the legislature from top to bottom. Look at the statewide elected officials. Let's not count Jim Ziegler as auditor, but let's look at Secretary of State, former Democrat. You look at the Attorney General. They're not like Bible thumping, Mo Brooks type of politicians. They're different.
That's right.
So Alabama, for everybody that says Alabama likes to elect these kinds of guys, they don't do that historically.
Well, you're making a really good point. And you mentioned Brad Fresno. I listened to him a little bit. He is a breath of fresh air in political commentary. I know he's an opposition research guy, but he's been helpful to who's the front runner for CD5?
Dale Strong.
Dale Strong. He's been very helpful to the Dale Strong campaign, and if I were running again, I definitely put Brad on the payroll because I think he does an excellent job.
Well, and he has some success with Tuberville, and yes, he's in the Senate now. I hate to cut you off there, but we're out of time. But thanks for making time for us this morning, Congressman.
Jeff, thank you. You guys stay safe.
You do the same. That was former Congressman Parker Griffith, the official Democrat response to the program. You got to get out of here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Mona tried to tell me.